Well, we're glad to see all of you here today. You never know what the Lord has in store for you or for me. Paul and Silas were sent by the Lord God to preach the gospel. And they came to a place called Philippi. They met a woman there, and she turned to Christ as her Savior. Met a young lass who was possessed with a demon, and they helped her out. Then we come to the third individual, and we'll talk about him now. Because Paul and Silas were men of God, they had a message of salvation, a message we need to listen to and think about. Now, today may be a very important day in your life. You've come here to this chapel to enjoy the fellowship of God's people, but maybe you're not right with God yet. You're not sure. You're troubled. But you don't know why. Well, this Philippian jailer, we find him in verse 23. Paul and Silas are put in prison because of their testimony, because of their faith, because of their love of the Lord Jesus. The crowd was upset. This girl who was possessed of a demon was making money for a certain group of people, and once the demon left, the people got angry, upset with Paul and Silas, and let's get rid of these guys because we're not making any more money. It's their fault. So they throw him in prison. Verse 23 of chapter 16. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Now we're introduced to a jailer. Blue-collar job. He didn't know what was in store for him. He had a responsibility. He came to work to do his job. He didn't know who Paul and Silas were. Verse 24. Having received such a charge, this jailer took these two men into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. They're not going to get out of my prison. They're important prisoners. I'm going to keep them locked up, but I'm going to take them into the inner prison where it's impossible for them to escape. And I'll put their feet in stocks, and my job is done. They're safe. I've done my job. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, all those of you who know and love the Lord Jesus live in society. You have jobs. You have a place where you live. People are busy. You're busy. But there's opportunities to make Christ known. A lot of people don't go to church. The only time they'll hear anything about Christ is from you, because they don't know. So your life and your word in society, where you live, is important. I was a student at the University of Wisconsin. And the University of Wisconsin is known to be anti-God. No God. It's a difficult field of endeavor for witnessing. So as a young student, I said, Lord, I've got to get the gospel out, but how am I going to do this? I don't have enough brains to answer all these difficult questions. So I'm going to do whatever I can. Bascom Hill, you have to go up the hill, and there's a beautiful structure there. It has big pillars. While there, I'm talking to another student, and we're talking about the gospel. But I said, Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. The scriptures authenticate that. I don't believe in the scriptures. I don't believe in your God. But listen to me. Jesus said, and I understood where he was, but I couldn't stop there. I said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You need to trust in Jesus Christ, or you're going to die in your sins. Well, we argued and we talked, and I kept insisting, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Now, I used language that the intellectuals despise, being saved. Well, I felt kind of bad. I did my best. I tried to help that student come to know Christ as his Savior. But I got nowhere. 20 years later, my brother Bill, who serves the Lord in Arizona, received some literature for his church work. And the fellow who sent it said, and you remember Bill, when you were talking to that guy about the gospel? I was hiding behind the pillars. And he said, well, hold it. You got the wrong thrall. That was my brother Bob. Well, anyway, he said, I was hiding behind the pillars. I listened to the gospel, trusted Christ as my Savior. What's wonderful? We're having a street meeting. You don't have street meetings anymore, but I was just a teenager. I was preaching the gospel to young people. And there were three young girls who were, oh, were they heckling me? They were just ripping me apart. I said, God loves you. The Lord Jesus died for your sins. He wants to save your souls. They just laughed and walked away. I'm 17 years old. And a man walks up to me in his 40s. He said, young man, I got to hand it to you. You did a good job. I'd like to trust Christ as my Savior. What do I have to do? You never know how this is going to take place. Who's going to listen to the gospel? Whose lives are going to be touched? So here Paul and Silas are in stocks, singing. And the prisoners are listening to them, and they've been praying. We get from this, no matter where you are in life, if you love the Lord Jesus, you live your life before society. If you pray before you eat, pray before you eat. Publicly. My brother Al, who's also in the Lord's work, invited the speaker who was speaking at the meeting that day. to dinner. And so my brother, they sat down to eat, and he said, would you mind giving thanks for the food, brother? Very respected. The man got up in the restaurant. Shall we pray? And everybody in the restaurant bowed their heads. You don't know what's going to happen. Well, the jailer must have been listening to these hymns. He must have been listening to these prayers. And then something happens. Wow. Something big happens. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed, including Paul and Silas. Now, there, from what your studies of the region of Philippi, there happened to be a lot of earthquakes in that area. So it was nothing new, but it was a strong enough earthquake to shake the prison doors open and loose the chains, that things fell out of the wall and whatever. It's a disaster. Or was it? Or was it? And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep. Now, here's this keeper. Here's this guard. He'd done his job. He put these bid in stock. He was sleeping. Maybe he didn't hear the singing. Maybe he didn't hear the prayers. But he got shaken up because of the earthquake. And seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Now, it would have been great shame if he had lost the prisoners. He wasn't thinking clearly. What would they do if he were found guilty of allowing the prisoners? They certainly wouldn't put him to death. But he's going to put himself to death for something that wasn't his fault. We're in Montreal, preaching the gospel, trying to make Christ known. And a woman came to us, a French woman, in our meeting. She said, my son is mentally ill. He's a homicidal maniac. He's never heard the gospel. Would you go and visit him? Well, where is he? He's at the Douglas Hospital. It's not too far from here. I want him to hear the gospel at least once in his life. Well, will he be lucid? Oh, yes. You want me to go to the... Well, dear, let's pray. What should we do? What would you have done? Okay, we'll go. I'd never been in the Douglas Hospital. I'd never been with mentally ill people. What I saw, I won't go into. It was very, very sad. The treatment some of these people were getting was sad. Well, the guard came up to me, big man. This is all in French, and he said, this way. We came into a caged room, huge room. He said, I'll let you in. I'll lock the door. You're on your own. Let me in. Lock the door. Homicidal maniac. He must be sedated for something. I don't know. He was sitting at a table in a blue suit, a blue outfit. Dark hair, handsome man in his 30s. He was sitting back. So I walked up to the table. Keep it together. Your mother asked me to come. My name is Robert. I forgot what his name was. I'll call him Andre. She wanted me to explain something to you. Do you mind if I sit down? Do you mind if I have, this is the word of God. I won't do this unless you really want, if you don't mind. Do you mind if I sit and explain to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? By all means, he said, sit down. By all means, sit down. Now, you may not be in that condition, of course. But he needed Christ as his Savior as much as you need Christ as your Savior. As much as I needed Christ as my Savior. So I told him the story of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Of that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. How that God loves you. He sent his Son to be your Savior, to die in your place so that you might dwell with him forever in heaven. I stayed with this man for 20 minutes. You know, it's interesting, even at the best of days, we don't retain much after 20 minutes of listening. I know here we always have a 45-minute message, but most of us, by the time we go to our cars, will have forgotten 90% of what was said. So I had to, and I realized I was in a time limit with this man. And I said, did you understand anything I said? Yes. Thank you for coming and explaining that to me. Now, I didn't ask for a commitment or of any kind. Who knows what God will do in these situations? So the jailer's all upset. There's been an earthquake. The doors are open. The prisoners are gone. I haven't done my job. I don't deserve to live. He gets his sword out and he's going to kill himself. Well, Paul could see him. It was a corridor, the light, he was probably, the walls, some of the walls were down. And he cries out with a loud voice, he shouts, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Don't kill yourself. We're all still here. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Maybe he did hear some of the singing. Maybe he did hear some of their prayers before he fell asleep. Because he had the insight to realize that these men were men of God. Maybe they told him more than the story tells us about how they came in and disrupted things. And they don't have our customs and our ways and they're preaching someone else. Maybe he had all that information. I don't know, but his answer tells me there's a lot more to this man than we realize. So he gets up, takes Paul and Silas out of that mess, out of that inner prison, brings them whatever was left of the prison. And he asked the question I think we all should take to heart very seriously. I don't know all of your backgrounds. I don't know your life experiences. I don't know where you've been or what you do, what you believe, what you don't believe. But this is one of the most critical and important questions you can ask in this universe in which we live. It's a beautiful question. He wasn't referring to getting out of his problems. He was referencing his soul. Sir, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, there are many questions that the world asks about life. What's death all about? Why are we here? How did the universe begin? Who's right? Why are there so many religions? Why are people religious? Why did they even think of death or afterlife? Now, you can't read in the scripture, I realize that. But this man maybe had thought about himself. Maybe he thought about his destiny. But certainly he was impressed by Paul and Silas. And he knew that they would have an answer. When I was a boy, a young boy, 6 years old, my grandfather died. And in those days, they showed the casket in the living room of the deceased person in their family. My mother and aunt, the kids, were all taken to see Grandpa. Now, we visited Grandpa from time to time, and every time I went, he gave me a silver dollar. But my mother was an alcoholic. She said, that's too big a piece of money for you to have. And she'd give me a dime. That fits better in your hand. And then use the dollar to buy her whiskey. Great mother. She took us to see this grandfather in his coffin. Come, Bobby, kiss him. I don't want to kiss Grandpa. I don't want to do that. Give him a kiss. But he's dead. Kiss him. He's cold. What happens to us after we die? Little kid, that's the first thing that came to my mind. What's going to happen to me after I die? Where did Grandpa go? What is there to life? Is there anything? So I grew up with this fear of going into nothingness and being nobody ever again. So I asked my father, Daddy, it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm now 9 years old. Daddy, Bobby, what is the matter with you? What is it you want? What's going to happen to me after I die? And he said, I don't know. Don't bother me with that nonsense. Go ask your mother. It's the same type of question. This man was troubled. But he asked the right question. I didn't know how to ask the right question. I didn't know what the question was. I didn't know I needed to be saved. saved from my sins, saved from damning death, saved from darkness, saved from hopelessness. So they said, whether together or one by one after the other, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household, because you're going to tell them what you've done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now stop for a moment, all of us. Have you done that? Have you taken the gospel in its very most simple form? You need to be saved because you're lost, because you're a sinner, because you need God's salvation. You need a change in your life. You need to repent from nonsense and turn to the living God through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins. Paul and Silas pointed this prisoner, this guard of the prisoners, to the person of Christ. John the Baptist was preaching in the early days of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He saw a man coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God, that meant there would be a sacrifice. And this one who came into the world, there's a Son of God, God incarnate, was like a lamb, sacrificing himself, tasting death, that we might be saved from our sins. When I heard the gospel, I went home to my family, told my dad, who was very angry with me, told me to go into the bedroom and never talk about being saved again. Little by little, from the age of 12 to 25, spoke to the family. Little by little, my mother, my dad, five of my brothers and sisters all trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. What must I do to be saved? Well, I'll try to live a moral life. No, that's not the answer. Well, we'll wait and see what happens at the end of the age. Nope, that's not the right answer. We'll do the best we can with what we've got. That's not the right answer. Well, what is the right answer? Believe. Believe what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Now you have a choice to make. If you've never done that here today, you have a choice to make. Oh, well, it's nice to listen to this guy. I don't know who you think he is. I have a lot of other things I have to consider. I've had a lot of experiences in life. And you're not going to tell me that that's the only answer to salvation. Yes. You want me to believe what? that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come into the world to save sinners. You want me to say I'm a sinner? Yes. And what am I going to do? Believe that Christ died for those sins. Now you have a choice to make. 5 young men went to a meeting, a true story. 5 young teenagers were at a gospel meeting. And the man preached the gospel like I'm preaching the gospel. And said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior now while you have the opportunity, while you're still alert to his message. The guy's a screwball. Why don't these teenagers... kind of nasty and sarcastic. And all 5 were killed in an automobile accident 15 minutes later. When we hear the message, what must I do to be saved? He responded. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized to authenticate the fact that they had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. He made a positive commitment to Jesus Christ. He believed, he and his household trusted in the finished work of Christ at the cross. They didn't say, well, we'll wait. It's good news, the gospel that we preach. It's news that will revolutionize your life. Paul says in another place, there's joy and peace in believing. We ask you today, take seriously what the truth of the gospel is. Realize that you are a sinner in his sight. You haven't obeyed his laws. You've, part of the human race has fallen, we've all fallen in sin. We've all come short of the glory of God. Acknowledge that. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ now. And according to God's word, you will be saved. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know who we are. You know why we're here. We see just the outward appearance of each individual. But we each know deep down inside of us whether or not we have trusted in your Son, the Lord Jesus, as our personal Savior. It is our prayer, Father, that if there is someone here today who does not know the Lord Jesus, and they know that they don't know, then help them to make that statement of faith by bowing their heads to you and saying to you, Lord Jesus, I want you as my Savior. you died for my sins. I am lost. We seek your blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.